This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. America is saying goodbye to the queen of the silver screen, Katharine Hepburn. Ted Lorson reports.
In a film career that spanned six decades, Katharine Hepburn was nominated for 12 Oscars and won four, the last for On Golden Pond in 1981.
My night is shining on.
Family spokeswoman Cynthia McFadden says Hepburn died on her own terms.
She was and always will be an American original, and she died as she lived, with dignity and grace.
Despite her long and distinguished resume, Hepburn told 60 Minutes in 1979 that she never considered herself a star.
I don't think of myself really as being an actor. I really don't. I mean, it's how much are you worth? Can you wash the windows? Can you clean the house?
Ted Lorson, Old Saybrook, Connecticut.
Katharine Hepburn, dead at the age of 96. Operation Sidewinder is underway in Iraq in an effort to stop the cycle of violent attacks against coalition forces. Troops have arrested about 60 suspected supporters of Saddam Hussein's former regime. However, Secretary of State Colin Powell told NBC's Today Show that they're not part of an organized resistance.
We are not seeing a nationwide, coherent, organized resistance. We're seeing pockets of resistance. Criminals, looters, former members of the Ba'ath Party, former members of the Hussein regime.
Residents along the Louisiana coast are bracing for Tropical Storm Bill. The National Hurricane Center has posted a hurricane watch for the coastline as the storm is rapidly gaining strength in the Gulf of Mexico. It's expected to make landfall later today. President Bush is in Miami, where he'll be talking about Medicare reform. The president is scheduled to speak within the hour. He's also set to meet with senior citizens at the Little Havana Activities and Nutrition Center. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow was up 13 points, the Nasdaq up 4 points, and the S&P up slightly.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief. Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue. Without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
Initial reports say there was nothing structurally wrong with a North Chicago porch that gave way yesterday, crashing three stories to the ground and killing 12 people. At least 60 others were injured. Authorities believe there were simply too many people on the deck at one time. A successor has been reportedly chosen for Boston's embattled Cardinal Bernard Law. CNN reports the Roman Catholic Bishop of Palm Beach, Florida, Sean Patrick O'Malley, will take over as head of Boston's archdiocese in a bid to calm tensions over the church's many sex abuse scandals.
They finally did it. A weight loss formula that's guaranteed to work. And it comes from Metabolife, the leader in weight loss for years. It's new Metabolife Ultra, with an appetite suppressant and formulated for sustained energy. Its key ingredients have been clinically tested and shown to help you lose weight. In fact, we're so sure that Metabolife Ultra will work for you that we absolutely guarantee your results. Go to Metabolife.com for all the details. It's available now at Walmart. Ask for it by name. Metabolife Ultra.
A nurse in the Toronto area has died of SARS. The 51-year-old is the first Canadian healthcare worker to die of the disease. SARS has now killed 39 people in Canada. Rapper DMX is due in court today on the Caribbean island of St. Kitts after being arrested for swearing during a concert over the weekend. Officials with the St. Kitts Music Festival claim the 32-year-old rapper star was warned ahead of time that local laws would make it illegal for him to use profanity while on stage. Andre Agassi will continue his quest to become the oldest Wimbledon champion in the Open era today. Fellow American Andy Roddick will also play in the round of 16. Top-seeded Serena Williams and her sister Venus will be in action today as well. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. A picture's worth a thousand words, so picture this, a toilet bowl. You know what car part is similar to that household favorite? Battery? Gas tank? No, those won't float. But when I come back, I'll tell you what does.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
What's the automotive equivalent of your toilet bowl? Your carburetor. Both have little floats that control levels of liquid. Ever lifted the top of a toilet tank and bent the rod to stop water from flowing? Carburetors have similar float valves that adjust fuel level. In toilets, the excess water streams harmlessly to the sewer. But in carburetors, surplus fuel flows into the motor, causing engine damage, decreased gas mileage, and air pollution. All good reasons to include carburetor checks in your annual inspections. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome to our program today, speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast and border to border, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite, covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator and streaming audio on the Internet with listeners all over the world, given the emails and hits we're getting on our message board. Folks from Hong Kong to Scotland have been engaging in our conversations. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. Thank you for joining us today. Is the war on Iraq harming American democracy? In our first hour, we're going to get into this. Down toward the bottom of the hour, we're going to get online Barry Farber, a conservative talk show host who thinks that we need more war. And in the meantime, I want to share some thoughts leading up to that. And stick around for our third hour. We're going to have Andy Borowitz, the author of Who Moved My Soap? The CEO's Guide to Surviving in Prison. Find out how they traded one gated community for another. For those of you who are listening to stations that run the 3 hours of the program these days. And we have some messages on our message board. If you go to TomHartman.com or TomHartmanShow.com, either one will get you there. You can, number one, drop into our chat room. We've got a couple of folks there already. In fact, Aaron just said, just curious, anyone have any perspectives on the current conservative criticism of the U.S. State Department? It's starting to come from all sides, Aaron. It's really interesting. Louise shared with me this morning a column by a libertarian writer calling for Bush's impeachment, the libertarians. Our quote for the day, if you'd like to drop into the chat room, you just go to TomHartman.com and click on the chat button. It'll take you to the trade forum on CompuServe where you can just click the chat button and drops you into the chat room. Or if you'd like to post to the message boards where there's a lively and more permanent discussion, click on the message board link on the left-hand side of the home webpage there. Our quote for the day, James Madison on April 20th, 1795. This was before he became president, about a decade after, 7 or 8 years after, he had shepherded through the Constitution of the United States, participated. It was he and John Jay and Alexander Hamilton, primarily him and Hamilton, had co-authored the Federalist Papers, selling the Constitution to the American people. And so in 1795, he wrote, and this is germane to our topic today, of all the enemies to public liberty, war
is perhaps the most to be dreaded because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes. And armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the domination of the few. In war, too, the discretionary power of the president is extended. His influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments is multiplied. And all the means of seducing the minds are added to those of subduing the force of the people. The same malignant aspect in republicanism may be traced in the inequalities of fortunes and the opportunities of fraud growing out of a state of war, and in the degeneracy of manners and morals engendered by both. No nation, Madison concluded, no nation can preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. James Madison, father of the United States Constitution, former president of the United States, on April 20th, 1795. From our message board, Fahrenheit 9/11. Apparently this is Michael Moore's new movie. I've seen a few little clips about it here and there. They've been keeping it apparently under tight wraps, exactly what's going to come out. But Andy in Pennsylvania says, Fahrenheit 9/11 will debase every facet of Bush's platform of lies just in time for the 2004 elections. I love it. Is this going to be a wild card in the election? This will be interesting. And would you believe the mainstreamers are backing it? Miramax under Disney is the underwriter. Icon was the original production company, but right-leaning Mel Gibson, Icon's owners, opted out for obvious reasons. The financial success of Bowling for Columbine made all this possible. Maybe now the liberal media can be a reality, Andy says. With Disney and Miramax behind it, expect to see it in chain theaters. And boy, oh boy, will the cons be foaming at the mouth when that happens. In another discussion, following up on some of our conversations from last week, Sawdust in Florida says, I disagree. Now, this is an expression of essentially the libertarian philosophy. He says, I disagree with the philosophy that if someone makes money, the government has the right to take it from him and give it to another citizen. The recent child tax credit is a prime example. Why does anyone deserve a check for having a kid? More specifically, why is the government taking money from me and giving it to someone who pays no tax? I think it's unfair. I understand I have to pay taxes to contribute to the functions of government. I object to the redistribution of wealth. Andy in Pennsylvania responds saying, redistribution of wealth is a myth. Do you really think that any wealthy people are in danger of trading places with the poor? Andy Pinkio puts it in a good argument for the government using taxes to better the country as a whole, and that's a link to another site. Sawdust then replies, I don't object to government spending money. I object to the government taking money from me and giving it to someone else. Call it what you want. Well, broadly speaking, I think that's a sentiment that pretty much everybody would agree with. Liberals, conservatives, right across the middle, whatever, that from each according to his ability and to each according to his needs is something that in a large nation clearly doesn't work. It might work on a kibbutz, it might work in a small tribe or a small community, but it certainly does not appear. It creates the tyranny of the administrative class, of the bureaucracy. But this is not what is being suggested. See, this is the straw man argument. Other than taking tax money, about $160 billion a year, and handing it to corporations in the form of welfare, most of the welfare that goes to human beings in the United States is disaster relief. It's to make sure that people in times of stress just don't go down in flames. It's really a very different thing. And the child tax credit is, my understanding, the philosophy of it is that it's a compensation for all the taxes that people pay. And they say, well, they don't pay any taxes. Not true. They don't pay any income taxes. The percentage of taxes that are paid by poor working Americans, total taxes, as a percentage of their income, is much greater than the percentage of taxes paid by the wealthiest 1% of Americans. And so, you know, it's like, well, let's figure out a way to equalize it. At least that's my understanding of that philosophy. Is the war in Iraq harming American democracy? Well, we have this. Oh, before I get to that, a Berlusconi alert. For Berlusconi, a fickle political sky suddenly turns rosy, reads the headline in today's Wall Street Journal. For Silvio Berlusconi, the Italian prime minister, the next week is shaping up like a dream come true. Berlusconi, as you'll remember, is the man who bought or built five of the six television networks and most of the radio networks in Italy. Once he had complete control over the media in that nation, ran for prime minister, and he and his party, surprise, won. And then it was discovered that back in the 80s, he and his good buddy bribed some judges and a few other folks, engaged in all sorts of shady business dealings in order to build his fortune that he used to buy the media. And now he's being prosecuted for it. But last week, the Italian Parliament, because this week he begins being the president of Europe, of the European Union, for 6 months. They didn't want the president of the European Union and the prime minister of Italy, the Italians didn't want him to be embarrassed by being subject to criminal proceedings. So they passed a law saying that you can't prosecute the guy when he's in office. So the Wall Street Journal says he did not have to show up in a Milan courtroom last week to address the bribery charges against him. Isn't that wonderful? This week, Italian prosecutors and judges are expected to ask the country's constitutional court to assess the immunity law. In other words, they're going to challenge this thing. But nobody in Italy is suggesting that it be challenged until 6 months from now. And in wrapping up the story, they say he has a talent for creating bold distractions and for waltzing so fleetly from one messy spectacle to another that he can never be pinned in an awkward place. And I think we're seeing the same thing with regard to these folks around the war. Now, there are some who are suggesting, and I place great credibility in this theory, that the war in Iraq had absolutely nothing or very little to do with any supposed war on terrorism, and that the people prosecuting it knew this right from the very beginning. We had Wesley Clark, General Wesley Clark, on TV the other day talking to Tim Russert, this is about a month ago, where he said that on 9/11, on the day of 9/11, he got a call from a highly placed official in Washington, D.C., a member of this administration. He hasn't named that person to the best of my knowledge yet, who said to him, on 9/11, we've got to tie this thing into Saddam Hussein. Not, we think Saddam had something to do with it. No, we have to tie this thing. And that campaign has been so successful that 45% of Americans think that Iraqis were on the planes that hit the towers, even though there was not an Iraqi to be found. So, thinking of this as a campaign ploy, here's the strategy, and it was put forward by Rupert Murdoch, owner of Fox News. This from February 11th, 2003, in The Guardian. Murdoch was over in England, and he was talking to a reporter for The Guardian about the Labour Party and it being a hotbed of knee-jerk anti-Americanism and all this kind of thing. And he said, and I quote, "The greatest thing to come out of this," this being an attack on Iraq, "the greatest thing to come out of this for the world economy, if you could put it that way, would be $20 a barrel oil. That's bigger than any tax cut in any country." The Guardian goes on to say, "Mr. Murdoch's comments came just a week after he told Fortune magazine in the U.S. that war could fuel an economic boom." Quote, quoting the owner of Fox Network, Rupert Murdoch, quote, "We're keeping our heads down, managing the businesses, keeping our profits up. Who knows what the future holds? I have a pretty optimistic medium and long-term view, but things are going to be pretty sticky until we get Iraq behind us. But once it's behind us, the whole world will benefit from cheaper oil, which will be a bigger stimulus than anything else." Keep in mind that Iraq is known to have 11% of the world's oil and may well have as much as 20% of the world's oil. And it is the cheapest oil on earth. It bubbles up out of the ground because it has not been exploited. The oil pools have not been pumped really, really hard like they have in so many other nations. Norway may offer some lessons on how Iraq should be developed, according to an optimistic piece by Bob Davis in today's Wall Street Journal, but this is wishful thinking. I can tell you they're talking about how well Norway did with their oil revenue, but the reality is that the oil in Norway is owned by all the people of Norway, by the government of Norway, not by any specific corporation. And in Iraq, they're already talking about privatizing the oil. Is the war on Iraq harming American democracy? Stick around. We'll be right back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
James Carville here again. By now you know InPhone is great for phone numbers, driving directions, movie times. But it does a whole lot more. When you call InPhone, it costs just 89 cents for the first 15 minutes. Every minute after that is just 5 cents. Pretty good, huh? So, I ask you, is InPhone enhanced directory assistance, or is it super cheap long distance with a personal operator? 888-411-1111. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
The Long Ride Home by Super 8 Motels.
Somewhere between 14 hours in a minivan, between the world's largest pothole and the hubcap that got away. Between 5, look at the horses. About 50, I have to go to the bathrooms. And one amazing sunset. Somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way.
Call 1-800-800-8000 or visit super8.com. All Super 8 motels are individually owned and operated.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
You can't always get what you want.
Can't always get what you want, but if you are a rich Republican in the Bush administration, you can get a chunk of the cash that's going all over the place from the oil in Iraq and the tax dollars being spent to get it. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network.
Between $30 and $105 billion will be the rebuilding cost of Iraq, according to the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. A select group of Washington insiders, Bechtel Corp., Fluor Corp., Louis Berger Corp., Parsons Corporation, and Halliburton's subsidiary Kellogg, Brown, and Root, were invited to bid on a $900 million contract. KBR, one of the divisions of Halliburton, won this mind-boggling insider contract. This was a no-bid contract, no competitors, guaranteed profits. And people think Teapot Dome was a scandal. I mean, this is mind-boggling what's going on. Military contractors are making out like bandits with this war. Overpriced weapons systems. Lockheed Martin scored $17 billion in defense contracts last year, up from $14 billion the year before. Boeing went from $13 billion in 2001 to $16.5 billion last year. Northrop Grumman jumped from $5.2 billion to $8.7 billion in defense contracts. Consider Lockheed Martin VP Bruce Johnson was a finance chair of the Bush for President campaign. Lynn Cheney is a former Lockheed board member. Secretary of the Air Force James Roach is a former Northrop Grumman VP. All told, and this from CitizenWorks, by the way, all told, defense corporations donated $13.69 million to politicians and political parties in the last election cycle. We also have private military services. The government is starting to outsource our military. It puts it beyond the reach of the Freedom of Information Act. It's no longer answerable to we, the people. And it generates profit for the corporations doing it, who donate large amounts of money to the politicians who are making it happen. According to Citizens Work, there is one private contractor for every 10 military personnel in the Persian Gulf at this moment, according to the Washington Post. Big bucks being made here, folks. Big bucks. Enough to keep a bunch of right-wing talk show hosts happy for a long, long time. Enough to fill politicians' pockets. Enough to allow the president to run around and, or the resident, shall we say, and churn up his campaign cash. The Defense Department has entered into 3,601 contracts with 12 U.S.-based private military companies worth $300 billion. Why? Because Iraq controls 11% of the world's proven oil. No, they have no affiliation with Osama bin Laden, who is now apparently hiding out in Pakistan, according to the latest reports. A total of 41 officials of the Bush administration have ties to the oil industry, including the president and vice president. Condoleezza Rice has an oil tanker, an Exxon tanker, named after her. The Wall Street Journal reported on January 16th that White House officials have been meeting informally with executives from Halliburton, Schlumberger, ExxonMobil, Chevron Texaco, and ConocoPhillips to plan the post-war oil bonanza. Dick Cheney, meanwhile, continues to refuse to release the notes of meetings where the administration members plan the national energy policy in secret with industry representatives. And he's being sued by people on the right and by the left. Halliburton is under SEC investigation for artificially inflating revenues by $234 million over 4 years. Under Cheney's tenure, the company increased its subsidiaries and offshore tax havens from 9 to 44 and cut their taxes from $302 million to getting an $85 million rebate, all run up for a very profitable war. Is this war even necessary? Would it be better for us to be having police agencies chasing these criminals? Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org. or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Nearly 20,000 employees of Goodyear Tire and Rubber are teetering towards a strike today after contract talks with the tire maker broke off over the weekend. Goodyear managers are looking to cut into losses that have totaled about $1.5 billion over the last 2 years, but the United Steelworkers of America says the company should cut managerial positions rather than blue-collar jobs in its bid to return to profitability. Union workers are also upset over Goodyear's plans to move tire-making jobs to cheap overseas facilities.
Trendy clothier Abercrombie & Fitch has agreed to pay $2.2 million to settle a lawsuit filed by California labor regulators over violations of the state's uniform law. Abercrombie & Fitch once required anyone who worked in its stores to wear only its clothing on the job, but California law prohibits companies from forcing workers to buy their own uniforms. People who worked at Abercrombie & Fitch stores in California between 1999 and February of 2002 are eligible for settlement payments ranging from $200 to $500. A separate lawsuit filed in California by former store employees seeking nationwide class action status is still pending.
Alaska Airlines is joining a long list of carriers turning to employees for wage and benefit cuts. The airline says it needs to slash about $250 million in savings to keep out of bankruptcy courts. Alaska Airlines executives say they'll voluntarily cut 15 to 20% from their salaries, which range from $318,000 a year to nearly $500,000. And they're expecting employees to do likewise, asking workers to accept lower wages along with increased health care costs and skimpier pensions. About 8,500 pilots, flight attendants, mechanics, dispatchers, and clerical workers will be affected.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire.
Zebra.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to ieamericaradio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. We have on today Barry Farber, who is a radio talk show host and columnist for Newsmax. Barry, welcome to the Tom Hartman Radio Program.
Tom, thank you. I love that radical middle. Interesting ground.
Yeah, well, I think it's where most Americans are, frankly, although I think that... many might characterize it. Well, I'm not sure what it is, but because my positions are all over the map. In your April 23rd piece on Newsmax, you started out by saying the left, by insolently asking who's next, suggests that America's off on a rampage of imperial conquest. They insist America's out to paste countries we don't like into our scrapbook with the relentlessness of the late Adolf Hitler. And then in your June 22nd piece, it seems to me that you're suggesting, well, maybe we should go after Syria. We should have declared an all-out war. This needs to be much bigger than it is. What's up here, Barry?
Oh, you couldn't have set me up better. I'm so glad you said every word, every punctuation mark exactly the way you did. No, there's no conflict there. When I call for total war, that's my latest column. Mm-hmm. I'm calling for a mood in this country, not military action against other countries the way we waged total war in World War II. I'm talking about our attitude, and you and your listeners are fortunate because while I was listening to your intro, I just thought of, after wrestling with this for weeks, I'd finally thought of a short way to explain what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You are driving to a very interesting date, something you're looking forward to. Your car breaks down. You're on a mountainside. It's cold. You're freezing. And you are in a miserable mood. Okay? Now, turn the page. You are behind enemy lines waging a mission. It went bad. You escaped with your life. And you're on a very similar mountain, and it's cold and it's icy, but you're thrilled. You're thrilled because you're alive. You know, there are two different attitude, I think they call it. Well, after 9/11, our government had the opportunity to give us any mindset it wanted, any direction from on high. At the beginning of World War II, it was total war. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, I have nothing to offer except blood, toil, tears, and sweat. Curiously, our government chose the opposite mindset for us. The message was, believe it or not, it was not even 2 years ago, but people will remember, the message from on high was, we will fight, you go shopping.
Right. Please go shopping. Please go shopping, because we need the economy to get better so that Bush can get reelected in 2004.
All right. That's another argument.
Well, I mean, that was the subtext to it.
Yeah.
And it was fairly explicit. Rupert Murdoch, came, when he was interviewed by The Guardian, said that the best thing that Bush could do for his reelection campaign in 2004 was to quickly win the war so that he could get oil prices down below $20 a barrel, which Murdoch said would be better than any tax cut, that it was all about the economy.
Well, if there were no 9/11, I would agree with that.
How many Iraqis were in those planes, Barry?
That doesn't matter. That matters not at all. Let me explain why. First of all, let me just finish this point.
Sure.
If we are in total war, then the loss of one American a day does not break the national mood. Now, nobody except the immediate families can be sorrier than I am for the loss of any American man or woman before the collapse of Saddam, after the collapse. But one, can you imagine General Eisenhower, General Patton, General Bradley, General MacArthur pacing in his command tent saying, oh, my Lord, we lost a soldier yesterday. We dare not lose another one today, or the media back in America will start thundering, who's winning this war anyhow? If we were in a total war mood, then we would be in much better shape today. The go shopping thing worked until about a month after the fighting stopped in Iraq. That's what I'm calling for.
But Barry, a war requires an enemy. Marshall, Patton, Eisenhower, Churchill, they had Germany. They had Japan. They had a nation that had declared war against us.
Well,
number one, Saddam had nothing to do with 9/11. That's well established. So this is apples and oranges.
That is true, and B, to me, irrelevant, and I'd like the chance to explain why.
Can I just lay something out here for you and ask you to respond to this, if you don't mind? Because I think we got that. I'm suggesting that just as the Red Brigades attacked Germany, or Italy. It was the Red Brigades against Italy. There was the Red something, another group in Germany, and November 17 in Greece. There have been a lot of terrorist groups that have taken on nations. And those nations then didn't say, we're going to go to war and mobilize the military. Instead, they pulled together all the nations of the world. They said, these guys are criminals. We're not going to deify and elevate them by calling this a war, because that implies that they actually have a nation. Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden didn't have a nation. This is not a nation. He's a thug. It's a mafia.
Tom, first of all, the Baader-Meinhof gangs and the Red Brigades combined, compared to Al-Qaeda and the terrorists who want to kill you and me and all of us, That's like comparing lightning to the lightning bug. Also, you're in.
Oh, come on. They were assassinating the leaders of governments.
They did their best, but they were.
It would be the same as if the head as if Tom Daschle had been stolen and assassinated, abducted and assassinated.
Well, the Italians did that with their prime minister Aldo Moro, but I don't quite understand. You're saying, hey, the terrorists have always roamed the gentle plains of Europe, so what's the big deal?
I'm saying
there was a very big deal when they attacked us. It was we lost as many Americans on that day as we lost on Pearl Harbor morning in 1941. My point is this. We do have an enemy. The enemy is terrorism. Now, follow me. You say Osama bin Laden.
Terrorism is a concept, Barry. It's not an enemy. Who is the enemy?
No. Don't tell those lost in 9/11's crimes, and don't tell their family that terrorism is a concept. It is an enemy. Now, I think
there are people who are espousing terrorism.
I think you misspoke. I don't think you meant to say that Osama bin Laden didn't have a country. He had Afghanistan, and that's what I mean when I say...
No, Afghanistan had Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden had state support in Afghanistan.
Mullah Omar offered to turn Osama bin Laden over to a third country. And we turned that down and then attacked Afghanistan.
Well, wait a minute.
What are you talking about?
Mullah Omar did no such thing after 9/11. There were deals
from the Clinton
administration, not from Mullah Omar, but from Sudan.
This was a week before we attacked Afghanistan. Mullah Omar said he would give up Osama bin Laden, but he would not do it to the United States. It was a matter of national pride. He would do it to a third country. And we said, no, we will not accept that.
Radar, because what good does it do? So he's going to give them to Pakistan. He's going to give them to an Islamic fundamentalist faction across the border in Pakistan. Big deal. I'd advise you not to buy that. I just have one more point to make, and then I'm happy to listen. Terrorism needs a state. They cannot. Without a state, a terrorist is a quarterback without an offensive line. How long would a quarterback last with nobody to protect him, nobody to block for him, nobody to give him phony visas and passports and money and cover and embassies and hiding? Without a state, the terrorists cannot function. We have removed Afghanistan and now Iraq. I don't think we have to wage any more real war. I think Iran, thank God, inspired by America's action in the Middle East, Iran is about to tumble to the freedom-loving and democracy-craving students. That's going to leave little Syria out there. If you were in charge of Syria, would you say, by golly, they're not going to scare me. I'm going to keep on supporting terrorists. Or would you sort of clear your throat and look for a way to distance yourself and change your ways? I think that what we're doing is necessary for civilization. I'm proud to be a taxpayer of the nation that is doing that right now. The world should bow to us and burn dried sassafras root at the American altar for what we are doing with very little help from the rest of the world.
So you think that we've made the world safer, that we haven't encouraged more terrorism?
No, absolutely. Remember, if we invade Iraq, it will unleash a riptide, a tsunami of new terrorism. Where is it?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we're very early in this game. If you'd like to be on the program today, 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. We're speaking with talk show host Barry Farber, whose daily radio program is heard on across America on America, Talk America Radio Network, and is a regular Newsmax columnist offering political and social commentary. Barry, is the war on Iraq harming American democracy? You started out saying that our president, George Bush, said, oh, you should just go shopping instead of fighting a war. I'd like to have you. Do you think that Bush has let us down in this? And then we've got a caller from Santa Fe here, too.
I think he made a mistake because I think he should have foreseen after the collapse of Saddam, which was inevitable, there's going to be sniping, there's going to be killing, there's going to be mosquito bites, there's going to be rocket grenade launched at American troops, and there's going to be killing. If we were
right, but there wasn't in Germany and there wasn't in Japan.
That would not hurt us as much as it's hurting us now.
Yeah, I think it's apples and oranges. Germany and Japan, we did not have that problem. In fact, it was the opposite. Mark in Santa Fe has called 1-800-TALK. Yes, would like to be on the program. Mark, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're talking with me and Barry Farber.
Hi there, Tom, and ni hao ma, Barry.
Hung hao xie xie, ni hao ma.
The guy speaks like 20, 50 languages or something.
Yeah, that was a question I wanted to ask Barry at some point, is how to learn a foreign language instantly. I only speak a couple of them. But anyhow, to your comment, Mark.
Yeah, Barry, now if state-sponsored terrorism is such a bad thing, then wouldn't state-sponsored preemptive attacks be a bad thing, especially when the world community, the United Nations, almost every civilized nation is against it? And if some country were to do preemptive strikes on another country for whatever ideological reason, shouldn't the other countries get together and attack us for that reason?
Absolutely not. I see nothing wrong with a preemptive strike if the purpose of that strike is to deprive terrorism of the state that nurtures it. I think that is a blessed kind of military surgery. I'm glad America has the means. We've always had the means, but now we've got the means and the will.
Thanks, Mark, for your question. Okay. Appreciate the question. Barry, does that mean that if India attacks Pakistan because of the cross-border invasions that they're getting, that we should support India and
not at all? India,
we
should continue our role as peacemaker there. By the way, India and Pakistan, for the first time, their relationship has begun to improve. They're both nuclear states. Of course not. India is not supporting terrorism. Pakistan was, but their military dictator courageously broke from that right after 9/11 and has been supporting us.
And what a good guy he is, right?
Well, look, okay. I'm not... Look,
Stephen Santa Fe is on.
There was another good guy named Joseph Stalin who we worked with in World War II. Thank God. Yeah. If we hadn't, you'd be speaking German and I'd be a lampshade.
Well, I okay. Pushing the edges of hyperbole, here's Barry Farber on the Tom Hartman radio program. Steve in Santa Fe, New Mexico, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I think this guy is missing the point altogether. First, in the definition of terrorism, and second, in the response to terrorism. Violence does not work. We've proved that over and over again. It only brings more attacks from what we call the terrorists.
What about World War II, Steve?
Well, World War II wasn't about terrorism. World War II was a world war against an aggressive nation that was invading other nations under the guise of preemptive strikes, just as George W. Bush is doing today. It is an exact replay of it, except this time the United States gets to play Hitler. I mean, we are going around having illegal wars. We invaded Afghanistan for the reason that we wouldn't have done. We wouldn't have turned over Kissinger to Afghanistan just because they asked. We would have to gone through legal procedures.
Well, and we've been refusing to turn him over to Belgium. Steve, thanks for the call and thanks for your comments. Barry, your response?
Yes, I think I'm his target, not you. Sir, I've enjoyed listening to you for that minute more than I would enjoy 6 months in a hospital. First of all, violence does solve problems, and I salute Tom for reminding you of World War II.
Well, he wasn't saying problems. He was saying terrorism.
Wait a minute. You say, now we are the Hitler. May I remind you, sir, that the late Adolf Hitler was not looking for weapons of mass destruction in Denmark and in Norway and in Holland and in Belgium and
in
Poland.
Barry, he claimed he was. He invaded Poland specifically because he said they were massing on the border and they had already started firing on German soldiers. On German civilians, rather.
What he did, that happens to be my area of maximum interest, what Hitler did was dress up a brigade of German soldiers in Polish uniforms, which they had acquired by stealth, sneaked them into Poland just before September the 1st, 1939, and then they crossed back into Germany and blew up a radio station near the border. That was his pretext.
There was a terrorist act, and he claimed he was going after the terrorists.
I love history better than tapioca pudding. I lap it up, and I would really be grateful if you'd show me one reference that said Hitler said Poland is massing troops on the border.
Okay, well, on that detail, I may or may not, I may well be wrong, and I'm sure that you're right, but Hitler's whole thing, I mean, you go back to the burning of the Reichstagsgebäude, the whole thing was this war against terror. But let's not get off on that digression. Let's stay with right now. Barry, we've got Jeff in California on the line. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman radio program. We're talking to Barry Farber.
Hey, guys. Hey, Tom. Hey, Barry.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. We've only got about 1 minute left in this segment, so if you make it quick here.
No problem. I was just going to take issue with this idea that we're going to unleash a tsunami of terrorism by invading Iraq. I just have never bought that argument. Give you a quick analogy. If you confront a bully in high school and he's got 12 friends and this bully's the toughest guy in the high school, you think all of his friends are going to try to take on you if you beat up that bully? No, they're going to run scared.
Yeah, it's a good
secondly,
metaphor.
I have one other point, which is, look, by putting all these in the Middle East, the terrorists aren't going to want to attack mainland America. They're going to try to attack the men with the guns. I would rather have terrorists attack the men with the guns than the women and children here in the mainland. That's my point. That's it.
Okay, great. Jeff, thank you very much. I think, Barry, you'd say you're in agreement with Jeff.
Jeff and I are never going to get in a barroom brawl, and Tom, you aren't. You and I aren't either. You are not what's wrong with America, and I've enjoyed this tremendously.
Thank you. Barry, if you can stick around for another 4 or 5 minutes, I got one last question for you before the end of the hour. Is that all right?
Oh, sure, okay.
Great. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where we still honor we the people. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
They finally did it. A weight loss formula that's guaranteed to work. And it comes from Metabolife, the leader in weight loss for years. It's new Metabolife Ultra, with an appetite suppressant and formulated for sustained energy. Its key ingredients have been clinically tested and shown to help you lose weight. In fact, we're so sure that Metabolife Ultra will work for you that we absolutely guarantee your results. Go to Metabolife.com for all the details. It's available now at Walmart. Ask for it by name. Metabolife Ultra.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now. Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Doolittle, who talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy
Sack Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And the beat goes on. Goes on
in Iraq, Iran, Syria, all of them. Oh, boy, where is it happening now? You're in the Democracy Zone with the Tom Hartman Radio Program here on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Barry Farber, talk show host and columnist for Newsmax.com. And Barry, in your U.S. Needs to Declare Total War column, which I think is your most recent one,
right.
You said, I sense that those in the media dishing out that line, the line about, one guy dying a day, American soldiers, revel in the shooting of our troops and fear the total will be too few to justify their neat little mantra of an average of one American a day has been killed since the president assured us the war was over. Do you really think that Wolf Blitzer and the, I don't know the names of the reporters on Fox News, but the, you know, and ABC, that these people actually...
You made a very good point, but you didn't pick the right example. Wolf Blitzer is not one of the ones that I'm aiming that at, and of course Fox News is a total exception. You'll notice I also said I don't want to shoot the messenger, but I've got the right not to like his attitude. I am not making a major point there. I'm not fulminating. Smoke is not coming out of my right-wing earlobes when I make that point. But yes, I do. I think that those who don't think we belong in Iraq, who don't like this administration's policy, who don't admire President George Bush, I think that they sort of want a hook. And the idea of we've lost an average of an American a day since George Bush, ha ha ha, declared the fighting at an end. See, that's what you would not hear. That would not be weighing on our spirits if there were a total war mode and mood fitted onto this country by our leadership after 9/11. That was
my
whole point.
So you think the folks on the left are such sociopaths that they are happy when our young American men and women die?
That's a little strong. Not happy
when they
die. They
revel in it.
They are not sufficiently saddened when the loss of an American contributes to what they think will save a lot of lives, namely ending adventures like Iraq.
Okay, Philip in Florida has called 1-800-TALK. Yes, Philip, we've got a minute or so left in the segment. Quickly, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have a quick question, but just before I ask the question, you are with Newsmax.com?
Oh, hey, Philip, sorry, my timing was off by a minute. Barry, can you stick around over the top of the hour?
Okay.
If you're up for it, we can take you into the next hour. We can take about another 15 minutes of this. Philip, hold on to the line. Steve in Illinois, you stay on the line. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be back right after the news.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi,
truth seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. America's beloved First Lady of Cinema has passed away.
Well, now look, all I'm trying to say is that there are lots of things that a man can do. And in society's eyes, it's all hunky-dory. A woman does the same thing. The same, mind you, and she's an outcast.
Finished?
No.
Katharine Hepburn died yesterday at her Connecticut home. The film clip you just heard was with her co-star and lover for 27 years, Spencer Tracy, in the movie Adam's Rib. Hepburn has starred in such films as The African Queen with Humphrey Bogart and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. She won 4 Oscars in a career that spanned 6 decades. President Bush remembered Hepburn as one of the nation's artistic treasures. Katharine Hepburn, dead at the age of 96. American troops continue to come under fire in Iraq. An embedded reporter has been wounded in an attack on U.S. soldiers west of Baghdad. 3 Iraqis were killed shortly afterward when their truck rammed the U.S. military vehicle that was evacuating the wounded reporter. The U.S. is drastically underfunded and dangerously unprepared to cope with another tragedy of the magnitude of 9/11. That's according to a recently released report issued by the Independent Task Force on Emergency Responders. The effects of Tropical Storm Bill are already being felt in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama in the form of bands of heavy rain and strong winds. National Hurricane Center forecaster Stacy Stewart says the storm is expected to reach land today.
Bill is forecast to gradually make landfall in the Vermilion Bay, Marsh Island area, somewhere late this afternoon or early this evening.
The storm is expected to dump about 5 to 8 inches of rain as it approaches Louisiana. Authorities in Chicago are still trying to pinpoint the exact cause of a deadly deck collapse on the city's north side. A dozen partygoers were killed when the third-story porch came crashing down, taking out several other porches beneath it on the way down. The collapse also injured 60 people.
I had a bad headache. I tried Advil Liquigels. They work faster than Tylenol.
I needed stronger medicine, and Advil Liquigels get that medicine to my headache faster.
I get better relief with Advil Liquigels.
Every day, more people are choosing Advil Liquigels to relieve tough headache pain. Advil has these advanced capsules with liquid medicine inside to rush relief where you need it. Proven faster, stronger, better than Tylenol.
Now, every time I get a tough headache, I choose Advil Liquigels.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Disturbing details are coming out about hundreds of decomposing bodies discovered at the Tri-State Crematory in northwest Georgia some 16 months ago. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports 334 uncremated bodies were eventually found at the site maintained by Ray Brent Marsh. That's according to testimony given in a class-action civil suit against Marsh. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow was up 3 points, NASDAQ and S&P down slightly.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad.
I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
President Bush is pushing lawmakers to finish Medicare reform and get it to his desk. Speaking to senior citizens in Miami, the president cited historic progress in modernizing the federal entitlement program.
If medicine is changing, we want Medicare to change with it on behalf of the senior citizens all across the country.
Late last week, the Senate and House approved bills to add a prescription drug element to Medicare. Differences in the legislation will have to be worked out by House and Senate negotiators before a measure can be sent to the president for his signature. They'll get to work on that after this week's 4th of July recess. If you've never ventured down the Devil's Highway, you'll never have the chance. The American Association of State Highway and Transportation has officially changed the name of US 666 to US 491. Following complaints from citizens and politicians that the number 666 is linked to the number of the beast by way of Bible references. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Think of your favorite child. Now think of your favorite child again in your car. What can you do to ensure that child will live to become a favorite adult? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
How do you protect your most precious cargo? Safety seats, which reduce infant death risk by 69% and toddler by 47%. Infant seats from birth to 1 year should be installed rear-facing in the back seat. These often convert to front-facing for toddlers under 4 years and 40 pounds. Booster seats are suitable for children 4 to 8. But not until a child is over 80 pounds and 8 years old are regular seat belts proper restraints. Whatever their age, when you think of your favorite children, picture them buckled up, then do it. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, broadcasting coast to coast, border to border, on terrestrial radio stations from the depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite system. Available on Sirius Channel 145 if you have a car made by Ford, Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Mazda, Land Rover, Dodge, Jeep, Mini, Volkswagen, Audi, Nissan, Infiniti, or Jaguar. And streaming live on the internet from IEAmericaRadio.com, RadioPower.org, and archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We are asking the question, is the war on Iraq harming American democracy? We're talking with columnist for Newsmax.com and radio talk show host Barry Farber, and also the author of several books. And Barry, we have Philip in Florida on the line, Steve in Illinois. If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. If you'd like to drop into the chat room, go to TomHartmanShow.com on the web and push the appropriate buttons to get to the chat room. And Barry, we were talking about the idea that those on the right are characterizing those on the left who may have opposed the war, or even the newscasters who are reporting it, as gleeful at the death of American soldiers. And this just fries my socks. I think that this is the worst kind of demagoguery. And I'll just lay that out. And you were just telling me that either it's not that case.
You're the world's foremost authority of your opinion. I stated that as my opinion. I claim no supernatural powers, but I sense that they were absolutely humiliated when we were not in a quagmire and not bogged down and not in a Vietnam, and they had to eat those words without salt, pepper, or spice very, very quickly, and people don't like to have to do that. And now, where is the victory? They're killing one American a day. Yes, Tom, get real. There are commentators insufficiently saddened by that loss. How do they square it with themselves morally? I think something like this. They say, well, if we lose a few Americans, maybe one a day now, we'll save tens of thousands of lives down the road when this president is kicked out.
Philip in Florida has called 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome to the program, Philip.
Yeah, hi. Barry, before I get to my question, you work for Newsmax.com?
Yes.
Newsmax.com was, I think, founded, and the editor is a guy by the name of Chris Ruddy.
Christopher
Isn't that correct?
Ruddy, right.
And just to familiarize the people out there, Chris Ruddy, wasn't Chris Ruddy the guy who made a career out of accusing Bill Clinton of murdering Vince Foster?
Absolutely not. I'm glad
you brought that.
No, well, pardon me for talking while you're interrupting. Chris Ruddy, who I've known since he was 15, I had him on my radio show because he was a he led a conservative club at a junior high school in New York. And when he was 15, conservative junior high school students were big news. Chris Ruddy wrote a book called The Strange Death of Vincent Foster. He never accused Bill Clinton of murdering him. He merely pointed out, gave six solid reasons why the official story could not possibly be true. His book was ridiculed, his book was reviled, his book was denounced, but it was never debunked.
And we spent $40 million investigating that by I don't know how many different agencies.
Well,
and none of his conclusions were found to have any merit.
And Christopher Ruddy, no. What you're saying is that nobody's proven he was murdered. Nobody's proven that it was a conspiracy. Christopher Ruddy, read his book. I doubt that you have, and you'll see that there are six major flaws in the story. Now, I'm just going to tell you one little thing. I hate to take up this much time, but yours is a particularly inappropriate attack on a great American journalist
named
Christopher Ruddy. Now, let me just tell you.
Can we just pause that there, Barry?
We got it that you like this guy
and Chris, that Philip doesn't.
Okay, let me ask my question, though.
Let me go to the question. To get us back on topic
now,
here.
Okay, from my understanding, I think a recollection of the facts will show that the countries in Europe demonstrated against this invasion. They didn't support it and don't support it. Would you agree, Mister?
Would you agree, yes or no? I know.
I want to be like Hannity here. I'm going to browbeat you when I interview you.
It's not going to work, Philip.
I'm going to play your game. I'm going to play the game of truth. Yes, you're absolutely
okay,
right.
Okay, let me go to my question.
However, those same European countries seem to appreciate American military intervention every time we're liberating them.
Okay.
Shame on Europe for its present attitude. Where do you get the notion that if it comes from Europe, it's inscribed on the upper lip of a sphinx?
You're putting words in my mouth. Let me ask you this. Given their opposition to the war, do you think it's realistic that they are going to send soldiers from Belgium, Luxembourg, Germany, Holland, France, whatever, to replace American soldiers in Iraq, okay, to keep the peace, so that their soldiers can be like shooting ducks?
Well, why not? They're coming in from Italy and from Spain and from Portugal and from Poland and from Albania. Sir, you are dismayed with me. Let me tell you how I feel about you. For you to quibble the way you are quibbling with the attitude that is very evident from your tone of voice and not gasp with moral approval at the bodies, the graveyards, the mass graves, the torture, the testimony of the survivor.
Mm-hmm.
We have rid the world of a little Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
And I should think that you'd be proud and grateful.
One of at least 30.
One quick footnote. Portugal, Spain, and Italy, who you say support this effort, strangely have a fascist history in their country of governments.
Well, so what? Russia has a communist history. Germany is the strongest democracy in Europe.
Why is it the fascist countries?
They have a Nazi background. What is your point, sir?
Why is it the fascist countries? The countries with a fascist history seem to support American foreign policy more than others.
Sir, if I were to point to somebody, I'll bet you if somebody points to somebody you admire, probably Senator Byrd of West Virginia, and pointed out that he had a Ku Klux Klan history, you would get your tail over the dashboard. You would have a troy ton of sand in your gizzard saying, but that's when he was 20 years old. What is the relevance of Italy's fascist history, Spain's fascist history, and Portugal's fascist history in the year 2003?
Got it, Barry. Got it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to be on the program. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program at 14 minutes after the hour. We're speaking with Barry Farber, talk show host and columnist for Newsmax.com. Steve in Illinois has called 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome to the program, Steve.
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think we definitely do need to be inquisitive and make sure everything is straight, because there's a lot of weird information coming out anymore. Like last August, about late August, is a Saturday afternoon. I was in Springfield, Illinois. I listened to Hot Talk 970. ABC News repeated twice that the declassified Lyndon B. Johnson papers housed at the University of Texas explained that the Bay of Tompkins was a fabrication, and that was an excuse to get people into Vietnam. I was a soldier. I served in the King's Army at one time, and I cry for my fellow man because we're basically like a sacrificial lamb for a gentleman's poker game. I mean, we got to have guarantees that we don't have these fabricated stories which result in bloodshed. And then Al-Qaeda, that's like a blowback. That was like a little child monster we created to go fight the Russians. And what if Saddam Hussein does survive? He's got like, what, a semi full of gold bar? He could hire any desperado crackhead junkie. And to do, he's like, hey, I'll give you a bar of gold, go shoot some Americans. I mean, he's lethal. I mean, he's like Dr. No out there if he did survive. So, I mean, that would just be and that just draws from the use of violence and the dealing of in the foreign policy. And I just think if we just never used violence in the first place, we wouldn't have had to create these monsters.
Sir, I think you're trying to give argument, but I think that the points you're making fall down on my side of the net. First of all, are you saying that we should that because Saddam Hussein may have survived and he's got billions of dollars to hire lunatic crackheads with who might kill us, are you saying therefore we should give up?
We might have actually forced our hand where we actually have to go along with the game of violence because the overall environment has set up a situation where you have to communicate in terms of in violence. It's kind of like a family myth which has come along within the family structure, system units, and on international relations. Violence is an acceptable means of communication, and there would have to be some serious atonement and healing to go back and change a new official dialogue. And it's just a result of a long trend of abuse that probably goes all the way back to Babylon and Syria. It's the same old game over and over. It just never ends.
Well, Steve,
thanks for the comment, and
I
appreciate your calling.
Not without its historical value. I feel that I'm on another planet from everybody else. People are bringing up the fascist background of Spain, Portugal, and Italy. This gentleman's bringing up the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution as though Lyndon Johnson invented a lying pretext for increasing our role in Vietnam.
We got it, Barry. Welcome to this planet.
Let me tell you something. Now, the crimes of Saddam Hussein are real. It's not a Gulf of Tonkin incident. It is
And Barry, the crimes of 30 or 40 other out-of-control dictators. I mean, look at Robert Mugabe. He's already killed a million of his people in the last 3 years. Of course, he doesn't sit on 10% of the world's oil. Norman in Alabama has called 1-800-TALK-YES. Norman?
Hello, gentlemen. I'm not going to join the chorus of Kumbaya, but what the guy was talking about, Saddam Hussein, the potential that he has of causing havoc, that's the reason why we went over there in the first place. And the thought that there would be people or journalists or somebody that want more casualties for it would bolster their point of view, that's a fact. There was a journalist for Salon.com, he wrote an article about that. And what about the lady, the entertainer, who said, I hope they go over there and get their ass kicked?
Sir, I salute you.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I salute you for your clear thinking and a very effective means of stating what you're thinking.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I will acknowledge that there are wackos on all sides of this debate. There are people who are taking extreme positions and unhealthy and inappropriate ones, in my opinion. We've been speaking with Barry Farber, talk show host and commentator and author for Newsmax.com and also for a whole bunch of books. Barry, in the last... I think we got about 30 seconds here. Can you tell us how to learn a language quickly?
Oh, dear me. Well, you trapped me in a corner with 30 seconds. Buy my book, How to Learn Any Language. It's published by Kensington in New York, K-E-N-S-I-N-G-T-O-N. There is a ways and means. You obey what I say, and you will learn any language quickly, easily, inexpensively, and on your own. I hold your hand. Nothing is vague. You may open my book on the ox cart of language learning. When you finish, you'll be on the jet.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much. Barry Farber, Newsmax.com, and the Barry Farber Talk Show. Thanks for being with us today, Barry. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program, Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle, on the IE America Radio Network. Gizmo in Louisville and Ike, Illinois, on the line. Stick around. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls right after this break. The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now. Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Sherwood Baylert is a member of Congress and, despite that, not a bad guy. He's a New York Republican who's been in the House for more than 20 years, and he loves the place. Fine. It's said that some people who muck manure for a living come to love the smell, so everyone to their own taste. But I thought Sherwood had been sniffing the congressional perfumes a bit too deeply when he recently declared that the House is, quote, the one institution in the whole wide world that's the personification of this great democracy of ours. Democracy? The great majority of Americans are factory workers, clerks, cab drivers, dirt farmers, teachers, Main Street merchants, programmers, waitresses, health care workers, and the like. How many of them serve in Congress, or are even marginally represented by those who serve there? About 70% of Americans make less than $50,000 a year. How many of our Congress critters go to Washington from such an income perspective? Indeed, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group reports that nearly half of the newly elected members of Congress are millionaires, which 99.5% of Americans are not. And if the House is so representative of our people, why didn't we get a pay raise 4 of the last 5 years as they gave themselves? Why don't we have top-flight health coverage paid for by taxpayers as they do? Why don't we get golden no-worry pensions as they do? Phil Graham is one example of congressional apartness from the rest of America. The Texas senator, who just retired, opposed any government program to help regular folks while he slavishly served the corporate powers that financed his elections. He became a millionaire while in office. And now that he's out, we the people will send him a retirement check of $78,534 every year. He'll get more doing nothing than 80% of us will make working day in and day out. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's the personification of plutocracy, not of democracy.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. You may say.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Bob Feinpfeffer in our chat room notes that on September 1st, 1939, Hitler told the Nazi Reichstag that Poland had tried to invade Germany and the Wehrmacht was returning fire since 5:45 a.m. Actually, in a carefully planned and highly mobile attack codenamed Fall Weiss, Case White, planned by General Field Marshal Walter von Brüsch. I don't know how to pronounce it. German land, sea, and air forces were rapidly already moving into Poland. Quote, this night, for the first time, Polish regular soldiers fired on our territory, said Hitler. Since 5:45 a.m., we have been returning the fire, and from now on, bombs will be met by bombs. Whoever fights with poison gas will be fought with poison gas. Whoever departs from the rules of human warfare can only expect that what we shall do the same. I will continue this struggle, no matter against whom, until the safety of the Reich and its rights are secured. Interesting. Thank you for sharing that with us, Bob. Somebody else says, if Bush was so moral, why did he lie us into the invasion? Why didn't he just say Saddam's a bad guy and we're going to kick his butt, kill people, and get the oil? And if you're not with us, you're evil just like him. And then somebody else responded, because people don't like hearing, I'm going to send your children to die for no good reason, cut your benefits, and give tax money to the rich. Gizmo in Louisville has called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Welcome to the program, Gizmo.
I'm on Sirius 145 here.
Oh, great.
Hey, listen, I wanted to talk to Barry Blah Blah, but I guess he left. He knew I was calling, huh?
It must be forewarned.
Well, you know, I didn't catch him at the top of your program. I just got loaded and jumped in the truck, and I was wondering if he had anybody had questioned him on if he liked the fact that we were deceived into a war that has cost American lives. Did anybody question him on that?
No, and it was one of the questions that I wanted to put to him, and we went off in all these very different directions, but we're going to be discussing that very topic on Thursday in some length.
Okay. Well, I've listened to Barry before, and he's a master of misdirection, and, you know, he holds the GOP line. He's just, you know, anytime an argument will work to his favor, he'll use it, and anytime it won't, he'll find a way to dissuade it. So, I mean, I like the fact, though, Tom, that you're having these guys on your show. And I like the fact that you let listeners call in and you remain civil to them and let your listeners do the attack, because that's the only way to get these guys to come on your show, I would imagine.
Well, there's not so much an organized strategy here, Gizmo, as just I think that it's important that people not just hear the singing to the choir. I think it's important that people understand what the folks on the other side are saying, and that we have an open dialogue for debate, or an open forum for debate here discussion.
It's very good. I would rather hear them this way than tune into their show and listen to them. And
right, because then it's so one-sided.
I've tried to call these conservative shows Limbaugh and Hannity, and if you have any kind of a point that's going to be difficult for them to counter, you don't get on. It's simple as that.
Yeah, they very carefully screen their calls, which, is something that we're not doing here. I mean, if somebody disagrees with me, I welcome them on this program.
Right, and if you sound the least bit intelligent and you're on the ball in the least bit, it's difficult for you to get on. I've gotten on... Limbaugh before, but I've made myself sound dopey during the Inquisition on the line before you get on. But yeah, after you get on and you don't sound so dopey anymore, he finds a way to just ramble on, talk over you, and hang up on you.
Yeah. Well,
so anyway,
Gizmo,
I like what you're doing. I'm sorry. I like what you're doing with your show, and please keep having these conservatives on. It's really
okay.
Nice to hear them on your forum.
Thank you. We will do that. Not as a steady diet, but you know, regularly. On Thursday, for example, we're going to have a conservative on, and we're going to ask him, where are the weapons of mass destruction, and what are the implications of that? Gizmo, thanks for calling in. 1-800-TALK-YES is the phone number if you'd like to be on the program, 1-800-825-5937. And right after this break, we'll be coming back with Mike in Illinois, who has called to be on the program. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Radio Show on the IE America Radio Network.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
An online database meant for scientists has become a popular resource for anglers, divers, and students. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Pick a fish, any fish, and you can find out all about it on the web. A site called FishBase provides information on every known species, including natural histories and current populations. Daniel Pauly started the database to help fisheries managers, but the effort kept growing until Pauly and his colleagues at the University of British Columbia had turned the technical database into an accessible web resource.
We ended up having covered all the fish in the world, 27,000 species. So here we have a database which provides biological information, pictures, all kind of information about all fish of the world. And it turned out that far more people were interested in it than we initially anticipated. And our most common user now is a U.S. school kid who uses it to do homework.
FishBase contains thousands of reports, maps, and pictures. It includes information useful to non-scientists, including anglers and recreational divers. Pauly says a key to making FishBase accessible was to include common names. He says scientific jargon had been the biggest barrier to everyday users.
So if you wanted information about cod, you had to know the scientific name Gadus morua. But in the meantime, we have put, 130,000 common names in 200 languages. And so people access the information through the common names, which is what they know. And so it has become very popular with regular folks.
You can find the database on the web at www.fishbase.org. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network. includes the best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Listening to the Tom Hartman radio program, where we still honor We the People. Nearly 2 years after the September 11 attacks, the United States remains, quote, dangerously unprepared, end quote, to handle another catastrophic attack, according to a study by the Council on Foreign Relations. Former Republican Senator Warren Rudman says we are in trouble. He was the head of this committee. The report found that on average, fire departments across the country have only enough radios to equip half the firefighters on a shift and breathing apparatuses for only a third. The commission included former White House advisor Richard Clark, former FBI and CIA director William Webster, and former military officials. Instead of supporting homeland security, we are giving tax breaks to the rich and giving billions to a small handful of large corporations connected to this administration who are over there in Iraq. I started to say rebuilding the country, but I think that that is a wild exaggeration. Mike in Illinois, thank you for calling the Tom Hartman Show. 1-800-TALK-YES, thanks for calling in, and welcome to the program. You're on the air, Mike.
Your guest there, he had mentioned that somehow the left was benefiting from the death of soldiers in Iraq.
Right.
Well, what about George Bush? I mean, who benefited greatly from the death of Americans.
And is going to ride that to in 2004, you know, like that guy in I started to say Blazing Saddles, Dr. Strangelove, you know, riding the bomb down out of the B-52, waving his cowboy hat in the air.
Right, with great adulation. He hit the trifecta.
Yeah. As he said to Mitch Daniels, yeah. Well, it's such a good point, Mike, and I wish I had thought to say it, because the biggest political beneficiary of this are not what Barry Farber would describe as the whining political commentators. It's George Bush himself.
I wanted to make that point, but I couldn't get in to make it to him.
Yeah.
I wish I'd gotten in earlier.
Well, next time. You know,
yeah.
Well, there will be other opportunities. I appreciate your calling, and thank you for waiting so long to get on the program. I know you've been on hold for about 15 minutes here, and I thank you for your patience. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jim in Dallas is on the line. Jim, you're on the Tom Hartman program. What's your question or comment?
Yes, I have a couple of things. Friday, I called Friday, and I didn't get in. I was the one that called from north of Hartford, and you were talking to a lady, anyway, and Bill Frist came up,
mm-hmm.
And I'm from Tennessee, and people never talk about Bill Frist. His family owns Columbia HCA Healthcare, and back in the 80s, they were investigated by the government, and they were convicted of bilking the government out of billions of dollars out of Medicare. They were convicted, and they were levied the heaviest fine ever given to a private company.
Hmm.
And they were, billions of dollars in fines.
Now, the other day, somebody called into the Rush Limbaugh show and said Bill Frist made all his money on these hospital deals, and Limbaugh says, no, he made his money by being one of the world's best heart surgeons.
Well, that's not true. And he's very the Republican Party is so hypocritical. They talk about, you know, how they're so against abortion and all, and women's, you know, all these women's issues are so against. However, Columbia HCA makes most of its money from abortions. And
well, that's interesting. Bill Frist's company?
Yes. His family owns Columbia HCA. Now, he has put most of his money or all of his interest in blind trust. But, you know, that's until he gets out of the Senate, then it's active again. So, you know, that's all nonsense and bull. And number two, I've got a couple of things. And also, I was wondering if you could do a show or a segment, and I think it would be very, very helpful to people, about the Carlyle Group and about George Bush's father's dealings in this company. Also, I would love for you to do a segment on how the media has controlled the arguments against Bush during all of this crazy stuff about this war, and you know, I mean, the media and the Bush crime family, as Malloy likes to say, are very complicit in all of this, and I think they need to be investigated heavily by an independent commission, not something that Bush has formulated. I'd also like to know why he stopped the investigation on 9/11.
Yeah, that's that, Jim. We have done shows on all of those things, but we will continue to come back to those topics in the future. But in the last 3 months, we actually have done programs on all those. But we will again also. And Mike Malloy also does a great job with these topics.
Right, and I tell you, I really love my Sirius Radio, and I love your show. And I'll tell you, I'm kind of a new listener, but I love what you're doing. Keep it up.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for calling. I appreciate that. Jim in Dallas, thank you for calling. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number to be on the Tom Hartman radio program, 1-800-825-5937. Robert in Los Angeles, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Robert?
I'm doing all right. First time listener, and I just caught the tail end of the right-wing fascist calling on the show. You know, I'm really, you know, I got to say, before I get to my topic, I like to say that I'm really sick and tired of these fascist right wingers. You know, I really believe that they are the ones who are un-American. They are the ones who are unpatriotic. They need to get the hell out of this country. Why don't they move to Iraq? Since we took over it, they just need to move there and create the little government which best suits them.
Well, a bunch of them have gone there already. You know, there's all these big corporations that are just going to Iraq with billions spilling out of their pockets and your tax dollars and mine.
Yeah, definitely, and it's ridiculous, and not to mention the fact that Mr. Bush was here. It's kind of funny. Mr. Bush was here in Los Angeles for fundraising over at the Century City Century Plaza Hotel, and it's kind of funny because it's like when I was driving to the airport, I saw Air Force One land, and I'm like, oh my God, that must be a bad omen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I find it also ironic that he's up here raising all these funds for his reelection campaign, where number one, the things you just mentioned about you mentioned about dealing with the situation with 9/11, the investigations are not fully been investigated, and in addition, you have still have the soldiers in Iraq are being killed, over 60 so far are being killed or getting hurt and stuff, and yet there's complete instability in the region, but yet he's going around the country raising funds for the reelection campaign. I think it's
sure, and he's raising it from, in large part, the people who are being enriched by, I mean, you know, he gives back trillions in tax cuts, and then those folks say, oh, here's a few million to you, and then he gives billions in contracts to these defense contractors, and they, in the last election cycle, the defense contractors gave $13.5 million to presidential candidate. Yeah, it's just the big cycle, going around.
All right, thanks for taking my comment. Take care.
Okay. Robert, thank you for your comment. I appreciate that very much. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Our question this hour is, the war in Iraq harming American democracy. Should we have declared war, or should we have declared an international police action? Are these guys a nation, or are they criminals? What's going on here? Early in Santa Fe is on the line, 1-800-TALK-YES. Thanks for calling, Early.
Hi, Tom. Frequent listener, first-time caller.
Great. Well, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you. I hear a lot of comments on your show about oil, but I haven't heard anybody talk about a new process that Changing World Technologies has developed. It's called thermal depolymerization.
Yes, New Scientist did a great piece on that about a month ago, and it's being picked up by, I think Scientific American picked it up recently.
Well, no, it was in Discover magazine in the May.
Discover, that's right.
Right, and this thing looks like it's got a terrific potential, but I haven't heard any comment on the major news outlets that this stuff can take any carbon-based material, even if it's, say, a biological hazard, and turn it into oil.
Right. They're doing it right now with turkey parts.
Feathers
and guts.
Up at Carthage, Missouri, and they've got several more plants that they're talking about putting online, and cost is very competitive. Right now they're looking at $15 a barrel, But right. they project that they can take all the agricultural waste, which is being just deposited out on the ground in the country, and it's got an oil equivalency of about 4 billion barrels of oil.
Yeah, there is a certain danger to that early, and that is it's the same danger with stripping forests, and that is that when you take biomass out of off the soil, rather than letting it recycle naturally as mulch, you're also taking out the minerals and you deplete the soil. But this technology does hold great promise. There's also been a huge breakthrough in solar cells. I don't know if you saw this. This was we talked about it on the program a week or two ago.
No, I didn't.
Big article about it in Science News. Yeah, they have it's a tenfold increase in efficiency. Just in the last couple of months, and a new way of etching the back of the silicon wafers and a new way of doping the compound that makes it so that now they've got solar cells that are sufficiently efficient and sufficiently cheap that in much of the United States you could just replace your roof shingles with solar cells and power your entire house year-round.
Well, I just wanted to make one more comment about this depolymerization process. Apparently, they have no waste product coming out of this plant, and they do convert waste into either oil, gas, and purified minerals.
Yeah, even the carbon dioxide gets converted back into hydrocarbons.
Right. So yeah. any water that comes out of the plant, it's clean enough to go into any municipal waste plant. But
yeah, I think there's a lot of promise there.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of promise, and for some reason we haven't heard much about it, and I just don't want this thing to get lost in the clutter. So,
I suspect it won't. I mean, if the claims that these guys are making for this, and it looks like they're solid because they've been substantiated by a number of good groups, if they're real and they hold up, I don't think we can keep this down. I mean, this is an example of the kind of thing, this and the solar breakthrough that just happened, that should have happened 25 years ago. The Jimmy Carter with the tax breaks and tax credits for companies that were developing these kind of technologies would have had happened 25 years ago if Reagan, coming into office on the back of big oil money, hadn't, as his first official act of office, removed the solar collectors from the top of the White House and killed all those funding and all of those tax credits for industry to become more efficient. And now we got Cheney having secret meetings with the oil industry to develop the national energy policy for the United States, refusing to talk about it and basing our entire energy program on oil, so that Rupert Murdoch is correct in saying that the best thing George Bush could do to get reelected is to steal Iraq's oil, but only because we've got this insane energy policy.
Well, right. If this process works, we don't need to go drill anymore. We don't need to be in Iraq. We don't need to drill a north slope. So tremendous potential here to get rid of waste, to clean up the environment, and get us less dependent on foreign oil. So
yeah.
Just wanted to
Thanks
pass that along and let you know that I enjoy your program. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, really. Thank you very much. I appreciate you being on the program, and thanks for keeping us up on those things. Secretary of State Powell rarely included the caveats and qualifiers that the intelligence community had shared with him about weapons of mass destruction. For example, he said to the UN Security Council, quote, "We know that Saddam Hussein is determined to keep his weapons of mass destruction," end quote. On the eve of the war, President Bush said, quote, "Intelligence gathered by this and other governments leaves no doubt that the Iraq regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised," end quote. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, on March 30th, on a Sunday news show, said he knew where the weapons of mass destruction were located. And, of course, bogus information on Iraq's alleged nuclear connections to Africa were even included in the President's State of the Union address long after the administration was notified that these things were not true. This is the kicker. I mean, the bumper sticker is Clinton lied and nobody died, and this is leading to this movement now, even among conservatives, to talk about the issue of impeaching George Bush. Now, I think, frankly, voting him out of office is a lot less painful for the country than impeachment. But certainly, if we think that it's appropriate to impeach somebody over lying about sex, then maybe we should be considering lying about things that have led to people's dying. A high-ranking American official, this from yesterday's Independent, the Independent newspaper of England, of the United Kingdom, a high-ranking American official who investigated claims for the CIA that Iraq was seeking uranium to restart its nuclear program, last night accused Britain and the U.S. of deliberately ignoring his findings to make the case for war against Saddam Hussein. This guy was a retired U.S. ambassador. Dick Cheney. Cheney's office went to him and said, we want to find out if the Africans are supplying nuclear materials to Saddam Hussein. Will you please check this thing out for us? And the members of parliament had repeated reports of forged documents. They say that they had originally reached the CIA via British intelligence. But Jack Straw says no. He denied that these forged documents came from British sources. So on the American side, we're saying, the CIA is saying, or the administration is saying, the CIA got these things from England. On the British side, Jack Straw is saying, no, no, it didn't come from us. Where did it come from? When the international, and reading here from the Independent article, this article in yesterday's newspapers, ministers knew war papers were forged, says diplomat. U.S. official who identified documents incriminating Iraq as fake says Britain must have been aware of the findings. Article by Andrew Buncombe and in Washington and Raymond Whitaker in London. When the International Atomic Agency, Energy Agency finally had the opportunity to inspect the documents, nearly a year later, they were dismissed as fakes in less than a day. This former diplomat was given this in February of 2002. He had served as an ambassador in Africa. He was approached by the CIA to carry out a discreet task to investigate if it was possible that Iraq was buying uranium from Niger. He said the CIA had been asked to find out in a direct request from the office of Vice President Dick Cheney. Now, could this be, I mean, people are talking about impeach George Bush, he lied to us. Could it be that it's been Dick Cheney behind all this? During 8 days in Niger, this guy discovered it was impossible for Iraq to have been buying the quantities of uranium alleged. He says, my report was unequivocal, quote unquote. On his return, he was debriefed by the CIA. This information was distributed to the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Justice Department, the FBI, and the Office of the Vice President on the same day in early March. And yet, 6 months later, the Vice President is still quoting this wrong information. Stay tuned to the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
They finally did it. A weight loss formula that's guaranteed to work. And it comes from Metabolife, the leader in weight loss for years. It's new Metabolife Ultra, with an appetite suppressant and formulated for sustained energy. Its key ingredients have been clinically tested and shown to help you lose weight. In fact, we're so sure that Metabolife Ultra will work for you that we absolutely guarantee your results. Go to Metabolife.com for all the details. It's available now at Walmart. Ask for it by name. Metabolife Ultra.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dent is strong, so the pain is gone.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Another
audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
Drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to
go on. Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Talk radio for the rest of us. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks to the folks in our chat room who have been sharing. Zen Pickle had mentioned Karl Rove is the modern-day William Hanna of the McKinley era. And I'd said, do you have any good historical sources on that? And bang, a couple of came right back. It is so cool, this chat room. If you want to drop in, just go to TomHartmanShow.com, www.TomHartmanShow.com, which is the homepage for the radio program, and click on the chat button. And that will take you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe, and there you click on the chat button, and you will be dropped into the chat room. On the 27th, that was one of those days last week. Don't have a calendar right in front of me. On the 27th, the Wall Street Journal had an article, Cry Freedom. Bush asks UN to lift environmental scrutiny from Yellowstone. The United States, during the Clinton administration, had Yellowstone listed with the United Nations on its list of World Heritage Sites, which meant that the UN was sort of keeping an eye on it. And so now this article, Bush asks UN to lift environmental scrutiny from Yellowstone. The administration will seek to remove the national park from the list of endangered World Heritage Sites at next week's meeting, that would be this week, in Paris, of the United Nations Education, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. And one of the fellows from the UN Association, a scientist by the name of Stephen Bozak, says, "We see good scientists not being listened to," end quote, by this administration. Good science being ignored, the needs of big business being sucked up to big time. So what's happened? We're looking at Iraq. We've been talking at Iraq. What happened? What about Afghanistan? Have we forgotten about Afghanistan? Well, apparently not. This from the Asian Times. Story byline in Karachi. The resistance movement in Afghanistan has fully reorganized itself, even setting up official offices. In an audio tape sent to the Pakistani Daily The News, which was accepted as authentic, the leader of the Taliban, Mullah Omar, has urged Muslims to step up the jihad. and on it goes. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stick around. We'll be back after the news if you're on one of the stations that's carrying us for 3 hours. Otherwise, thank you, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. America's beloved First Lady of Cinema has passed away.
Why don't you let him go by?
Now look, all I'm trying to say is that there are lots of things that a man can do. And in society's eyes, it's all hunky-dory. A woman does the same thing. The same, mind you, and she's an outcast.
Finished?
No.
Katharine Hepburn died yesterday at her Connecticut home. The film clip you just heard was with her co-star and lover for 27 years, Spencer Tracy, in the movie Adam's Rib. Hepburn has starred in such films as The African Queen with Humphrey Bogart and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. She won 4 Oscars in a career that spanned 6 decades. President Bush remembered Hepburn as one of the nation's artistic treasures. Katharine Hepburn, dead at the age of 96. American troops continue to come under fire in Iraq. An embedded reporter has been wounded in an attack on U.S. soldiers west of Baghdad. 3 Iraqis were killed shortly afterward when their truck rammed the U.S. military vehicle that was evacuating the wounded reporter. The U.S. is drastically underfunded and dangerously unprepared to cope with another tragedy of the magnitude of 9/11. That's according to a recently released report issued by the Independent Task Force on Emergency Responders. The effects of Tropical Storm Bill are already being felt in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama in the form of bands of heavy rain and strong winds. National Hurricane Center forecaster Stacy Stewart says the storm is expected to reach land today.
Bill is forecast to gradually make landfall in the Vermilion Bay, Marsh Island area, somewhere late this afternoon or early this evening.
The storm is expected to dump about 5 to 8 inches of rain as it approaches Louisiana. Authorities in Chicago are still trying to pinpoint the exact cause of a deadly deck collapse on the city's north side. A dozen partygoers were killed when the third-story porch came crashing down, taking out several other porches beneath it on the way down. The collapse also injured 60 people.
I had a bad headache. I tried Advil Liquigels. They work faster than Tylenol.
I needed stronger medicine, and Advil Liquigels get that medicine to my headache faster.
I get better relief with Advil Liquigels.
Every day, more people are choosing Advil Liquigels to relieve tough headache pain. Advil has these advanced capsules with liquid medicine inside to rush relief where you need it. Proven faster, stronger, better than Tylenol.
Now, every time I get a tough headache, I choose Advil Liquigels.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Disturbing details are coming out about hundreds of decomposing bodies discovered at the Tri-State Crematory in Northwest Georgia some 16 months ago. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports 334 uncremated bodies were eventually found at the site maintained by Ray Brent Marsh. That's according to testimony given in a class action civil suit against Marsh. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow was up 3 points. NASDAQ and S&P down slightly.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
President Bush is pushing lawmakers to finish Medicare reform and get it to his desk. Speaking to senior citizens in Miami, the president cited historic progress in modernizing the federal entitlement program.
If medicine is changing, we want Medicare to change with it on behalf of the senior citizens all across the country.
Late last week, the Senate and House approved bills to add a prescription drug element to Medicare. Differences in the legislation will have to be worked out by House and Senate negotiators before a measure can be sent to the president for his signature. They'll get to work on that after this week's 4th of July recess. If you've never ventured down the Devil's Highway, you'll never have the chance. The American Association of State Highway and Transportation has officially changed the name of U.S. 666 to U.S. 491. Following complaints from citizens and politicians that the number 666 is linked to the number of the beast by way of Bible references. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Oxymorons. You know, the things that just don't seem to go together, like jumbo shrimp or deafening silence. How about new car and service manager? You'll be surprised. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Pranex now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Pranex car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Pranex windshield treatment repels water, Pranex's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Pranex's new line of car wax. Pranex, protection you can see.
If thinking of the service manager while inking your new car deal seems like an oxymoron, think again. Though today's cars are certainly more roadworthy than their predecessors, they can still break. In fact, the experts at the L.A. Auto Show report that automotive repair is a $200 billion business, and one of every three cars serviced returns for additional work. So ask your new car salesperson for an introduction to the service manager. It's a small investment with a big payoff at repair time and for maintenance checks. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Pranex Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the third hour of the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting on the IE America Radio Network, coast to coast, border to border, on terrestrial radio stations from the depths of outer space, echoing across North America. From the Sirius radio satellite, and which you can listen to in your car. Now they have a home unit, actually, that you can pick up. And broadcasting live on the Internet from RadioPower.org and IEAmericaRadio.com and archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program.
And Who Moved My Soap? The CEO's Guide to Surviving in Prison. This is great. Within the next 5 years, one out of four CEOs in the U.S. will be convicted and sent to jail, predicts New Yorker humorist Andy Borowitz, who wrote in Who Moved My Soap? The CEO's Guide to Surviving in Prison. Andy, in addition to being the author, frequently contributes humor and pieces to The New Yorker, The New York Times, Vanity Fair, Newsweek, and NPR. He's the creator of the award-winning humor site Borowitz Report, B-O-R-O-W-I-T-Z, report.com, and the TV show The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, as well as a co-producer of the movie Pleasantville. Andy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Well, it's great to be here, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you. The information that came with the book, and I have the book here in front of me, also a timely antidote to the mess left by Enron, Worldcon, Tyco. Your hilarious satire exposes the ironies of CEO prison life. Tell us about the ironies of CEO prison life.
Well, what's very ironic is that, you know, we think that we're really punishing CEOs by sending them to prison. But as I show in Who Moved My Soap, you know, they're really just trading one gated community for another. It's not really going to be all that bad. I try to give them the tools needed to go to the top in the big house.
For example?
Well, I have in the book a chapter called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective Prisoners, which I think if every CEO follows these habits, he's going to thrive behind bars. For example, habit number one, be proactive. Don't get caught up in a prison riot. Start the riot yourself on your terms, on your schedule. Very important.
Demonstrate that CEO leadership.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the problem is that these guys are so dynamic in the business world, and then they become passive when they're behind bars. And instead of having things done for them, they're having things done to them. And I try to encourage CEOs to use that same, you know, dynamism when they're behind bars.
Right. And these life-saving survival tips from the former chief executive of Shamco International, now a resident of Cell Block 6 at the U.S. Penitentiary in Lomax, Alabama, where he shares a room with a fellow convict named Snake?
Yes, that is the CEO of Shamco, is the narrator of Who Moved My Soap. And he, for those who are not familiar with Shamco, it's a fictitious energy, telecom, communications pharmaceuticals company.
So
they got
like
into a lot of trouble for a lot of reasons that will be familiar to any shareholders of Tyco, WorldCom, or Enron. I mean, Tom, you know, the main reason I wrote this book is because so many investors lost so much money in all of those companies, myself included, I might add. And the little guy is one who really got hurt here, and we'll never get that money back, but I still think we can get our sense of humor back, and that's what Who Moved My Soap is all about. It's trying to get us a little bit of laughter at CEO's expense, because God knows they've done a lot at our expense.
Yeah. Andy, give us a couple of samples of your prison slang glossary.
Well, I do have a chapter which does translate corporate speak into prison slang, and it has lots of useful expressions. For example, the expression bumping on down Peckerwood, which is a way of just saying, hurry up, got to move on. It's sort of like what the AOL Time Warner board has been trying to say to Steve Case for the last year or so.
Right.
There are just so many helpful expressions in there. I'm trying to think of another one that would be appropriate. You know, some of it is fairly rough because we're behind bars after all. Well, flip the pad is a great expression. Flip the pad has two meanings to the CEO convict. It either means to turn over your mattress in your bunk. It also means to sell your Park Avenue apartment to cover legal expenses. So it has a couple of different meanings.
Okay. And you've got the, Zagat Guide to Prison Food?
Absolutely. You know, when you're behind bars, CEO stands for can't eat out. And it's very important to know where the best fine dining in prisons is available. So I have the first ever Zagat Guide to prison dining rooms, and you can really see what offerings are available at all the different restaurants around the federal prison system.
And what are the best?
Well, I rate Leavenworth very high, and Marion, the penitentiary in Marion, Illinois, and also Butner, North Carolina. If you can get past the name, Butner is also excellent.
Right. Now, what about the difference? Do you get into the difference between the privately run, you know, right now in the United States, one of the few industries that is actually a major growth industry that involves construction is the private prison industry. Do you see a difference?
You know, this is interesting because, believe it or not, I spoke at Yale Business School last week to believe, I can't believe this, but they actually hired me to speak at this CEO Leadership Summit. So the biggest CEOs in America were hearing me tell them what life was going to be like for them behind bars. it was really kind of a strange out-of-body experience for me. But, you know, one of the messages of Who Moved My Soap is that even though the economy is slow and we have, you know, a depressed stock market, high unemployment, one of the few boom areas left is prison, because so many of these guys are going to be going behind bars. We're going to need more prisons to contain them all. And I point out that by the end of the decade, by my estimate, 100,000 CEOs will be behind bars. Now, CEOs accuse me of making up these numbers, but I really think that's the pot calling the kettle black, don't you?
Yeah, they invented making up numbers. Tell us about prison cell feng shui.
Oh, such an important chapter. I'm so glad you brought that up. In Who Moved My Soap, I have a chapter devoted to prison cell feng shui, which, of course, is the Asian art of designing your environment to maximize qi, or energy. That's not to be confused with the kind of energy that Enron traded, which is, of course, non-existent energy. But qi can be maximized in a cluttered sort of, uncluttered, plain, empty environment. And that's the great news with these CEOs going to prison, because you won't find anything more uncluttered than a prison cell. There's practically nothing in it. I mean, there's like a sink, a toilet, and a bunk, and that's it. So these places are just overflowing with qi. It's a fantastic thing. One of my feng shui tips, though, is it's very important to position your bunk so it faces looking out through the bars rather than away from the bars. The reason being that that maximizes that wide-open feeling and qi, but also it helps you see if anyone's coming, which is very important in prison.
Right. Okay. Andy Borowitz, you've done a marvelous service for the CEOs of America with your book, Who Moved My Soap? Over 1 trillion copies sold, sales figures subject to an ongoing investigation, according to the publisher, Simon & Schuster, right?
Yeah, and your listeners can go to whomovedmysoap.com and find out more.
Ah, whomovedmysoap.com, and there was another website that I had in your intro.
Borowitzreport.com. It'll take you all to the same place.
Great. Okay. Andy Borowitz, the author of Who Moved My Soap. Thank you very much for being on the Tom Hartman program.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay. Have a good one. Most Britons no longer find Prime Minister Tony Blair trustworthy, and nearly half think he should quit. This from yesterday's report in Reuters from yesterday. This was according to a newspaper poll done on Sunday in England. And the reason why half of Great Britain's voters now think Tony Blair should quit, quote, he exaggerated the case for war against Iraq, end quote. Now, of course, there they have the BBC, which is not owned by any large corporations. It is a news service owned by the government, that is owned by the people, but not answerable to the government. It is answerable to the standards of journalism. The government cannot say to the BBC, you must say this, you must say that. Instead, they simply, you know, by law, they're required to just fund it and keep it going. So people in England, by and large, seem to know a little more than we know here. I wanted to get back to the situation in Afghanistan. By the way, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES if you'd like to be on the program, 825-5937, 1-800-825-5937. If you want to drop into our chat room, where we've got an interesting conversation going about Terry McAuliffe, Ralph Nader, prison food, all sorts of stuff, go to TomHartmanShow.com and click on chat on the chat button there. There's one over on the left-hand side and one in the middle of the page. That'll take you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe. Click the chat button and you will be in the chat room. The resistance in Afghanistan has fully reorganized itself. It is back. It is called the Saiful Muslimin, which means Sword of Muslims. It's a new organization. Asia Times has published an article about this. This is the new resistance movement which has reformed itself. I don't know if you remember from, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, there was a news story that came through. It's amazing how this stuff, it's right there in the news, and then, boom, it's gone, and somehow it never makes it into the network television news sort of things, and certainly you never would hear about it on Fox, about how the province of Pakistan I forget the name of it. It's one of those rather long and unpronounceable names that borders Afghanistan, or that has the largest border with Afghanistan. That particular province has voted to go with Sharia law, that is, with Islamic law, and women are now covered from head to toe. They've gone back to chopping off hands for theft and things like that, and they are killing security officers who go in there. This apparently is now run by, if not the Taliban, by an organization that is indistinguishable from it, this being part of Pakistan. But in Afghanistan, in Asabad, which is a town on the Pakistani border, there are now new training camps that have been established there, as well as in Paranchar and Miransar, both in Pakistan, on the other side of the border, training camps for the Taliban. And the main military committee is headed by Mullah Omar, good old one-eyed Mullah Omar, supported by his commanders, including Mullah Dadullah and Anktar Usmani. Afghanistan has now been divided by the Saiful Muslimin, by this new Taliban, into five operational zones. They have five zone commanders. The famed Pashtun warlord Gulbuddin Mikhtayar, leader of the Hizb-ul-Islam in Kandahar, and on it goes. I have no need to share the names with you. They probably would not be familiar to you, and I can't pronounce most of them, but they've organized into these five groups. And Hamid Karzai, who is supposed to be the president of Afghanistan, although if he leaves Kabul, he will be in big trouble. Afghanistan, by the way, a month or so ago, the CIA announced that they are harvesting the largest opium poppy crop in the history of the country, soon to be heroin in a country near you. Karzai said, quote, in a trip to Poland, he told Polish television, quote, "We believe that if Osama bin Laden is alive, he is around this region of ours, probably there on the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan," end of quote. Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned for the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments. The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now. Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why not
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Meeting last month at the sweltering U.S. base outside Doha, Qatar, the top Iraq commanders. According to Time magazine this week, President Bush skipped quickly past the niceties and went straight to his chief political obsession. Where are the weapons of mass destruction? Turning to his Baghdad proconsul, Paul Bremer, Bush asked, "Are you in charge of finding WMD?" Bremer said, "No, he was not." Bush then put the same question to his military commander, General Tommy Franks, but Franks said it wasn't his job either. A little exasperated, Bush asked, "So who is in charge of finding WMD?" After aides conferred for a moment, someone volunteered the name of Stephen Cambone, a little-known deputy to Donald Rumsfeld back in Washington. Pause. "Who?" Bush asked. This is actually the lead paragraph of an article from Time magazine this week, "Who Lost the Weapons of Mass Destruction." I think that Mr. Cheney's shenanigans are going to catch up with Mr. Bush. It will be interesting to see. In our chat room, we had... here we are. Aaron says, "I acknowledge that Bush has a big advantage financially, and otherwise I don't acknowledge that he's unbeatable." It's going to be interesting to see. I've got it here somewhere. I wanted to dig this out and share it with you. I'll have to find it as we're going along. But anyhow, there's an interesting story in today's paper about that. We'll get to it in just a minute. The National Arbitration Forum recently, we had on the guy from SavageStupidity.com or SavageSucks.com. And anti-Michael Savage, also a.k.a. Michael Weiner website. And Michael Weiner, of course, who goes by the stage name of Michael Savage on the radio, was suing him, saying that SavageStupidity.com was confusingly similar, quote-unquote, to MichaelSavage.com. And on June 27th, last Friday, the National Arbitration Forum issued a decision that the domain name dispute filed by Talk Radio Networks, Inc. of Oregon against SavageStupidity.com was not confusingly similar. They said they denied TRN's request to assume possession of the domain name, stating that SavageStupidity.com domain name is not confusingly similar because of the inclusion of stupidity in the domain name and the generic nature of the terms savage and stupidity. So that part of that one is down. Now, Savage is still suing these folks for slander, as I recall, or libel or something like that. We'll see how that goes. We'll have to check back with those folks and find out what's going on. Here's this is the story about the money that I was looking for. It's by early next March, Democrats will probably have a nominee for president. This from an article by David Rosenbaum from the New York Times. Bush plays it fast with hard money. At that point, with no opposition in the primaries, President Bush's reelection campaign is expected to begin spending the massive amount of money it has raised to paint an unfavorable picture of the Democratic candidate. In other words, next March, the Republicans are going to start using these hundreds of millions of dollars that they are raising to define in our minds who the Democrats are. And the Democrats, according to Scott Reed, an experienced Republican consultant, they will be flat on their backs, quote unquote. They will be tired from an exhausting primary campaign, still at each other's throats and completely broke. This, by the way, is the, according to this article, is the same strategy that Reagan used in 84 and Clinton used in 96. And it worked for both of them. Although Mr. Reagan only spent $24 million in doing this strategy, and Clinton only $37 million because both of them took matching funds from the government, so they were limited in what they could spend. Bush has said he's not going to take any matching funds. We don't need no stinking government money. He's got corporate contributors with millions falling out of their pockets from tax breaks and from contracts in Iraq, and they are willing and enthusiastic to pony up and toss cash his way. Stay tuned with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments. If you'd like to call in, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Nearly 20,000 employees of Goodyear Tire and Rubber are teetering towards a strike today after contract talks with the tire maker broke off over the weekend. Goodyear managers are looking to cut into losses that have totaled about $1.5 billion over the last 2 years, but the United Steelworkers of America says the company should cut managerial positions rather than blue-collar jobs in its bid to return to profitability. Union workers are also upset over Goodyear's plans to move tire-making jobs to cheap overseas facilities.
Trendy clothier Abercrombie & Fitch has agreed to pay $2.2 million to settle a lawsuit filed by California labor regulators over violations of the state's uniform law. Abercrombie & Fitch once required anyone who worked in its stores to wear only its clothing on the job, but California law prohibits companies from forcing workers to buy their own uniforms. People who worked at Abercrombie & Fitch stores in California between 1999 and February of 2002 are eligible for settlement payments ranging from $200 to $500. A separate lawsuit filed in California by former store employees seeking nationwide class action status is still pending.
Alaska Airlines is joining a long list of carriers turning to employees for wage and benefit cuts. The airline says it needs to slash about $250 million in savings to keep out of bankruptcy court. Alaska Airlines executives say they'll voluntarily cut 15% to 20% from their salaries, which range from $318,000 a year to nearly $500,000. And they're expecting employees to do likewise, asking workers to accept lower wages along with increased health care costs and skimpier pensions. About 8,500 pilots, flight attendants, mechanics, dispatchers, and clerical workers will be affected.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Program, the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. Tomorrow we'll be going head to head with conservative Jeff Metcalf of Newsmax.com. We're going to ask the question, have the Republicans bought and paid for the Gray Davis recall? What's going on out there in California? On the other side of the nation, from the People's Republic of Vermont, where I'm broadcasting from today, where we have gone from bright sun to thunderstorms to bright sun again. It's that summertime all across America. What a wonderful time of the year. While he's making no endorsements, former President Clinton says fellow Arkansan, fellow guy from Arkansas, Wesley Clark, would make a good president if he should decide to run. Wesley Clark has been saying some interesting stuff lately. I have a feeling he's running for vice president, not for president. In fact, I've heard from two different sources now about bumper stickers that say Dean and Clark in 04. And Clark could give pretty much any of the Democratic candidates solid military credentials. I think Kerry's the only one. Kerry and Lieberman is positioned as the hawk of all hawks, but I think Kerry is the only one with really, you know, combat experience kind of thing, which seems to help political candidates. Clark also approved of Clinton's $241 billion tax increase in 1993, among the largest in U.S. history, according to the Associated Press. He criticized Bush for reversing the Clinton tax strategy. So, well, interesting times here. Sometimes it seems like politics is like sports. It's like my team and your team, this team and that team. And it even seems to me at times that it's so much like sports that people are willing to overlook reality in order to support their team. And it gets very strange. And it is going to get stranger as this campaign rolls along. Our quote for the day from James Madison: no nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. April 20th, 1795. And quoting from President James Madison, now quoting from resident George Bush, quote, speaking before a group of firefighters, we're dealing with first-time responders. This was on March 27th of last year. We're dealing with first-time responders to make sure they've got what's needed to be able to respond, end quote. Shortly thereafter, Bush had been saying that he was proposing $3.5 million in new money for first responders. However, his budget tried to cut more than $1 billion out of existing grants to local police fire departments to fund this. Then in August of 2002, Bush rejected $150 million in grants to state and local first responders. Bush's decision prompted the president of the Firefighters Union to say, and I quote, "President Bush, don't lionize our fallen brothers in one breath and then stab us in the back by eliminating funding for our members to fight terrorism and say, stay safe," end quote. The president of the Virginia Firefighters Association said, quote, "The president has merely been using firefighters and their families for one big photo opportunity," end quote. Four signs that stocks have peaked. This is interesting. They are pumping this economy as hard as they can to get this train back on the track and try it. Because if Bush can't get a decent economic picture going by 2004, he's going to have a real challenge. Pretty much no matter what, unless he declares another war, which I frankly expect. I mean, the Bush family has been doing October surprises ever since 1960. And I fully expect another one. I mean, the last October surprise, of course, was September and October of 2002, when they began the whole Iraq war thing as a way of taking attention away from the Republican and business scandals that were happening and turning patriotism into the issue on which the 2002 elections would turn. And they were successful. And I suspect that I predict that September, October of 2004 is going to see another October surprise. I don't have any idea what it's going to be, but just as water runs downhill, you will see this thing happen. So what's happening with the stock market right now? Is the stock market, is this a good time to get into it? Is it, first of all, I think that way too much attention is paid to the stock market by the media. It's as if the stock market is the economy, and it's really not. The stock market is a very, very small piece of the economy. It's in some ways a small indicator of the economy, but only one of many. In fact, we find that 2.5 million people have lost their jobs. Maybe as many as 3 million have lost their jobs under this president. If you add together all of the jobs made or lost during the administrations of Bush the first and Bush the second, you find that it's a net. That's a minus. It's less than zero. No jobs have been created by either one of the Bush presidents. And how can they run it? Well, they're hoping that the stock market's going to come back. They are pumping this thing as hard as they can. Greenspan cutting the prime again, another quarter point. We're back to interest rates that we haven't seen since the 1950s when we were in a recession. And just desperately trying to pull this thing together. And many are concerned around the world that by this enormous government deficit, government spending, this billion, trillions that are being spent, at the same time they are being borrowed. There was this administration doing a borrow and spend campaign rather than taxing and spending. They're spending more than any other administration in the history of the United States has spent, and they are borrowing more than any administration in the history of the United States has borrowed to pay for it, putting our children and our grandchildren into debt, wiping out the stability and safety of Social Security and other programs like this, in order to try and get a bump in the road, a positive bump, a little kick up in time for 2004, so that the election, so that Bush can get himself reelected. And then if they do that, after 2004, it is really going to hit the wall. It is really going to crash and burn because there is so much debt. And the Fed can't go any lower. I mean, we're right at the threshold of where money market funds are going to start returning negative interest rates because of the cost of running the funds. So now the Wall Street Journal last Thursday, a column by Jeff Opdyke, four signs that stocks have peaked. He's suggesting that we've actually seen the peak of the recovery and that the four indicators are that, number one, corporate profits aren't expected to grow until at least early next year. In May, the amount of debt taken on to buy stocks increased nearly 8%. That's the second. So people are borrowing to buy stocks. This is a sign of a market mania, of a new bubble. Another one, huge sums of money are flowing back into stock mutual funds for the first time in 18 months. He sees this as something to be concerned about. And he says, in bearish sentiment is at its lowest level since 1987, just months before a major market crash. Now, why should you worry about these things? He says, such signals are classic signs are signs of a classic market top, according to Charles Biederman, president of market research firm TrimTabs.com. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, how the economy plays out here. I think the Bushies are hoping that it's going to be their trump card, but I'm sure that they have others that they will pull out of the hat should the economy not recover. But even if it does, we have so many states that are just going down in flames. This is such a terrible situation for the states right now. For example, Scribner, Nebraska, another story from the Wall Street Journal from last year. As he usually does before his twice-a-month visits to the Scribner Pharmacy, Bob Hudson sat down at his home computer recently to check his bank account. The balance was $38.95. It's enough, he says. This guy has to, because of the Medicaid copay and all this, to get his asthma and diabetes medication. He's an unemployed welder. He has to, every month or every couple of weeks, balance his checkbook to make sure he's got enough to pay for his prescription drugs. He is a Medicaid optional. This is the 15 million low-income people who they've been allowing to participate in these programs, but technically they're kind of on the edge, and states can bump them off. And now, as a result of these huge tax cuts and the deficits that they are causing to the states, the state of Tennessee is cutting 200,000 people, and we're talking about the working poor, people who are making less, on average, less than $10,500 a year, but they are working, many of them working very hard. 200,000 of these people are cut in Tennessee. California is preparing to cut 100,000. Michigan cutting 38,000. Massachusetts 36,000. Missouri 32,000. Texas 26,000. Nebraska 24,600. Connecticut 23,000. And on it goes. And every single one of these people is a human being. They're joining the 41 million people in the United States who have no health insurance whatsoever. No longer able to exploit the loophole that the states had allowed people to get Medicaid through up to this point, because states are saying, we don't have the cash anymore. Sorry, we just don't have it. Can't do it. While Bush aides try to look calm, the search grows increasingly feverish. According to MSNBC Newsweek, they predicted they'd find Saddam Hussein's arsenal of mass destruction as soon as Iraq's experts would dare tell the truth, but now they have the experts, the detainees, and I quote from Newsweek, the detainees say Iraq destroyed all its banned munitions years ago. Now, the other day, one of these right-wing commentators was going on and on about how, well, if Bush, what about Clinton? You know, this proves it's all partisan. Clinton bombed Iraq in 98, and he said that there were weapons of mass destruction. Well, yeah, Clinton identified locations where there were weapons of mass destruction, and he took them out. Might that be why you can't find them now? The detainees, according to Newsweek, say Iraq destroyed all of its banned munitions years ago and nothing more was produced. Ever since Clinton blew these things up, they haven't made any more. The scientists have been, and I quote, the scientists have been threatened, coaxed, offered all kinds of incentives, including safe haven outside Iraq for their families, and nothing changes their stories. Interesting article by Robert Shearer. He says, the fact that Hussein's gone doesn't make lying right. This is, as Newt Gingrich put it last week, quote, does even the most left-wing Democrat want to defend the proposition that the world would be better off with Saddam in power, end quote. And this is the argument that is made on the right. We got rid of a bad guy. And the quick answer, of course, is that we don't know, as Robert Shearer says, we don't know what the future holds for Iraq. Shearer says a stable secular dictatorship may be the best outcome we can predict, which is basically what Iraq had with Saddam. But the point is that Gingrich is saying basically is it's just fine to lie to people. The ends justify the means. And that is a very dangerous road to go down. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number for the Tom Hartman radio program, 1-800-825-5937. And Kip in Santa Fe is on the line. Kip, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Good to talk to you. I've talked to some of your colleagues in the past, Mike and
great.
Peter.
Yep.
And I'm enjoying your pitch here. It's your approach. It's very nice.
Thank you.
You were talking a little earlier about the money that the Republicans have raised and where the Democrats' deficit stands in that regard. Mm-hmm. There was a very thoughtful letter in our paper here in Santa Fe, the New Mexican, this morning, pointing out that, yes, Bush has raised a lot of money from donations and donors around the country, all these multiple millions that he's done. But you made a very striking quote of him. Who needs the stinking government money? Well, this letter this morning asked, who's paying for the fuel for Air Force One? Who's paying for the Secret Service? Who's paying for the advance parties? Who's paying for the screeners at the events? Who's paying for the extra police who are put on traffic and crowd control? So
you and me.
Do I have to supply an answer for that?
Yeah, you and me. But you know, and to put it in perspective and to keep it fair, Bill Clinton did the same thing.
Well, that's
so,
sure.
You know, what I would say that. Is that we
just,
have a
just because
a system.
There are murderers out there, it doesn't mean that committing murder is good. I quite agree with you on that, but.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean to justify it in that way. What I was saying is not that, you know, Clinton was bad and Bush is bad. What I'm saying is that we have a system that's broken.
That's really my point, too, is that the system is broke, and if they claim they're doing it without taxpayer money, that's another lie, and this guy has been giving us so many lies. I think it's time we called him on that and kept calling him on that and kept exposing the lies that he's made to the American people ever since the campaign, when he stole the election on the one thing and said things like he was a consolidator, not a divider, and there'd be no child left behind, and he was going to take care of the old folks. And we can say that Clinton did that. Everybody's probably done that since, I'm sorry to say, George Washington. It's just the nature of politics, but. The same time.
Clinton actually delivered on most of his campaign promises, though. Bush has actually turned his back on most of his campaign promises.
Yeah, right.
I mean, there is a really striking difference.
We've been reading one a day here. And then when the turmoil over Clinton's lying about a totally personal matter, although we know it affected his leadership, but at the same time, when a president lies about reasons for going to war and we're not doing it for oil. Well, nobody's saying anything about oil, but we're over there pumping it, and Halliburton has these contracts. And yeah. I'm glad that there are shows on the air like yours and listeners like you have who are keeping these ideas in front of the public. I just hope that that Howard Dean will do more of that, Kucinich and the other leaders who are our only hope to really get that.
Yeah, let's hope we get some Democrats with a backbone out there. Kip, thank you very much for the comment. Thanks for calling. I appreciate your being part of the program here today. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Niagara Falls, Raymond. Nature's wonderful. But imagine if nature stopped working. Like when you're constipated.
Maureen.
Good thing you use Philips Milk of Magnesia. It helps your body work more like nature intended. Philips has no harsh stimulants like many overnight laxatives. So you get comfortable, cramp-free relief of constipation. Right, Raymond?
Yes, Maureen.
So you feel like your natural self.
Naturally.
Philips. Comfortable, cramp-free relief. Also try great-tasting French vanilla.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
the moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Show. Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
The weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Ugly
weapon. They flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Molloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Molloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Molloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
We have grown, although our love is still special. Let's take a chance and fly away somewhere.
It's been too long since we took the time. No one's to blame. I know time flies so quickly.
Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical metal. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Big grant to oil firms shrouded in secrecy. This from the Philadelphia Inquirer from a week or so ago. Last week, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security awarded long-awaited and highly competitive grants for port security projects, and the windfall went to Citgo Petroleum Corporation. Most of the winners were awarded less than $1 million, but Citgo, a profitable U.S. subsidiary of the Venezuelan National Oil Company, hit the jackpot with $13.5 million to upgrade security at its refinery in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Now, wait a minute. They own a refinery where they're making money,
And we are giving them $13.5 million in taxpayer dollars to upgrade their security at their refinery. And not just them. There's 24 different grants went to the Delaware River Port System, 17 grants in Louisiana. So why did one company get so much money? Where is it going? The Homeland Security Department won't say, citing security concerns. And according to Kent Young, a spokesman for CITGO, this is not subject to FOIA. In other words, this is not something that you can learn about with the Freedom of Information Act. CITGO, which earned $140 million in the first quarter of this year, has received a previous TSA grant in 2002 to buy a patrol boat and build a boat ramp and boathouse for its Lake Charles facility. We are buying boats for this company. We are buying ramps for this company. Jim Robinson, Director of Navigation and Security for the state-run port of Lake Charles, said he knew nothing about the CITGO grant other than its enviable size. This is the guy who works for the port, right, the state runs. He says, quote, I could contract a private security company to provide round-the-clock surveillance for the entire waterway for 2 years on the size of that grant. Where's the money going? They won't tell us. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Thank you for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. See you then.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.